This week on the ASC podcast with John Gailey, we discuss the ARN statement from a major meeting regarding ear and hair coverings, the ECRI top 10 patient safety concerns for healthcare organizations, and we discuss how to be ready for an unexpected survey visit and how to talk to surveyors.
Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a weekly podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This week's episode is sponsored by Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading full-service ASC regulatory compliance consulting firms, and the Regulatory Compliance series of books for ASCs by John Gailey and published by Eden Group Development. Welcome to episode 18 of the ASC podcast with John Gailey for April 30th, 2018, recording from our studio in Rochester, New York. This is Sue Cronkite, Senior Nurse Consultant with Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. I'm here with John Gailey, the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies and one of the nation's leading ASC industry experts in regulatory compliance, finance, and administration. John is also a deemed status surveyor with one of the major accrediting organizations and the author of over 10 books about the ASC industry. We gave Jenna Alvarez another week off since she actually had to do work while John and I lounged on the beach.
Well, we're back. I don't know how excited we are about being here.
Not very, when we started driving back and we began to see that it was going to snow this morning.
I know. Yeah, we actually have snow on the ground still here in Rochester after being on the beach for 7 days.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it wasn't quite 7 days for me, though, because I did have to go midway through the week. On Wednesday, I went up to Chicago. I did a day visit to the Fresenius Kidney Care Clinical Leadership Conference at the McCormick Place Convention Center in Chicago, where I did a presentation on converting from office-based surgery to ambulatory surgery. You might all know that I've been involved recently with a lot of conversions of OBSs to ASCs, and I've been working with Azura, which is a subdivision of or subsidiary of Fresenius that handles the vascular care work. And they asked me to talk to their center leaders about the differences between the OBS and ASCs. And I got to tell you, even though it was during my vacation, I thoroughly enjoyed my time with Azura. It's just my work with the Azura over the past year, I couldn't be more impressed with the caliber of their leadership and their staff. And had a great time talking about the topic. In fact, I enjoyed myself so much that Dr. Miller, who is the chief operating officer, actually had to drag me off the stage, I'm afraid. So
I wasn't there, but I do believe that.
So we're back to work here now for another week of the podcast. Sue, what's up this week in ASC news?
Well, a statement was issued from a meeting of ACS, ASA, AORN, APIC, AST, CSPS, and the Joint Commission. This was a statement regarding recommendations for ear and hair coverings in the OR.
A very controversial topic, so I guess it's about time all of those groups finally got together.
Yep, they are working on some guidelines. They reviewed the most recent studies and literature, as they have found it is sometimes impractical for surgeons and anesthesiologists to cover their ears, and it may affect performance, possibly, you know, by making communication a little bit more difficult.
Plus, they don't look as good.
Yes. Always important. So the group concluded that requiring ear coverage is not currently supported by sufficient evidence. Also, there is no demonstrated association between type of hair covering and the rate of SSIs. For now, they recommend using a multidisciplinary team, including your infection preventist, to develop a policy that works best for your team and for patient safety. AORN is currently working on new guidelines, which will be available early next year. I guess my thoughts are to err on the side of caution and do all you can to protect the patient as long as it doesn't interfere with the surgeon's performance. What do you think, John?
Well, this is very interesting. First of all, it's a long time coming where they finally put everybody in the same room talking about this topic. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it on the podcast before. My comments have always been that our concern through the ARN standards has been making sure that hair is covered in the operating room. It is interesting now that we do have some literature to support the fact that perhaps there is no issue here. And I think, I don't know if it got into your notes here, Sue, but I think you mentioned earlier that there's actually some concern that the bonnets.
The bouffants. Yep. They didn't see any real detriment to using them, but they were found to be the least effective of all of the hair coverings at this point.
Which, of course, is what we've been encouraging everybody to move to from the others. So certainly, I'm going to keep a very close eye on what the accrediting organizations are telling us and what CMS might come out on. But right now, it kind of throws things back up in the air again. Yeah. We wait anxiously for ARN to come out with the final standards, which, as you said, it's not going to be until January of next year.
I think even later. I think in maybe February, they're going to open it up for comments, and then I think it'll be in April when they have their actual decision.
Okay.
The ECRI published its list of top 10 patient safety concerns for 2018. You know, they do that every year. These are compiled by pulling information from their PSO, the Patient Safety Organization database, PSO members, root cause analysis and research requests, topics that they have in weekly HRC, the healthcare risk control alerts, and they are voted on by experts in the field. So I wanted to mention a few that I think can affect our listeners. So some of the reasons also that an issue may stand out is that it is either a new or emerging concern, the issue is changing due to new technology, or there are new opportunities for intervention with an ongoing challenge. Not surprisingly, one topic on the list is device cleaning, disinfection, and sterilization, like the duodenoscopes. As you know, this is a topic we've already talked quite a bit about, so I, you know, won't say a lot more about that. Number seven is all hazards emergency preparedness. This is very timely given all the weather-related problems from flooding to wildfires and the concerns for cybersecurity and the mass shootings that we've been hearing so much about. It's kind of important to always think what could happen and what you're going to do. You know, it's better to be prepared than to try to recover afterwards. John, what would you say about all this?
I think the ECRI, which we've always used a lot of information from them in the past in trying to determine a focus for our quality improvement programs, for our risk management programs, always comes up with interesting information. I think this kind of matches with what we already know are kind of serious issues here. It is interesting to see that they've put the all hazards approach, which is basically part of that hazard vulnerability analysis that we've been talking about recently. Alex talked about it a couple of weeks ago, that's actually being shown as an important item. And I think it's all very timely given all the stuff that's happening in the news now. It's certainly so many things. Even some of our centers have been affected over the last year, those in Houston and Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is pretty much wiped out, and Houston had some pretty significant damage. So this isn't theory anymore. It's real practical stuff. And even centers like in upstate New York here have had, you know, pretty heavy wind and you know, snow issues. So very important that we stay on top of it and recognize that these things are likely to happen. They're not just possibly going to happen, but are likely to happen. And when we get into cybersecurity, which we're going to actually have an episode on in the near future, we're going to realize that if we don't have a cybersecurity issue already, we probably will within the next couple of years. So.
Mm-hmm. And I think they mentioned specifically ransomware and how scary that can be.
Right. And how many healthcare organizations have already been affected by it? And not aware of any ambulatory surgery center. Well, we had one of our clients that was affected by it. Fortunately, the machines they locked down didn't have any real data on it at all. So they kind of escaped unscathed. But it was a wake-up call for them. Yeah. And again, it could happen to any of us.
So it struck me that two of the other concerns to me seem really related to communication and engagement. Number nine is patient engagement and health literacy. And number 10 is leadership engagement in patient safety. To me, these issues are very similar at their root. The outcomes, I feel, are always better when people are more satisfied with care when they feel they have a stake in what's happening and have some power to affect the outcome. Basically, just taking some ownership of the process, whether it's the patient or staff or, as they mentioned here, leadership. So the last one I wanted to mention is what they call workarounds, which is basically when someone takes a shortcut or a temporary fix of a problem or a system flaw, and it just sort of continues and becomes just the way we do it here. And it may not really be the best practice because it really wasn't thought out or planned. The suggestion is to try to become more aware of everyday behavior and the reasons behind them and encourage staff input, and don't ever be afraid to question something that doesn't seem quite right just because it's always been done that way.
Very good. Okay, I think that's it for the news for this week. Let's take a short break and come back for a discussion of surveys. So this week, I thought we would do a bit of a focus on surveys, in particular, a few tricks to make sure your staff makes a good first impression on surveyors, and a discussion on how to talk to surveyors, which is always an interesting topic because I think a lot of people are, feel threatened by the survey process or are just nervous about what it would be like to talk to a surveyor in a survey environment. So let's start by talking about the tool that I like to create called a survey protocol. Mm-hmm. So what I do for all of our clients is we create, and this has to be individualized to the client, a survey protocol. Surveyors, which we create largely for the people in the registration area, but also for everybody else that's going to be involved with the surveyors. And it starts off by talking about when a surveyor is likely to show up, sometime between 7:45 and 8, depending upon what your hours of operation are. A little bit about the different types of surveyors that might show up, and then what to do when they arrive. So it'll point out to them that they need to inspect their credentials, that they need to get in touch with the administrator, nursing director, medical director, whoever else needs to be notified. Call, whoever else needs to know about this, if there's any other people in the administrative or the management structure has to understand it. Help the receptionist or whoever else is involved in this process to find a room immediately so that that surveyor can be put into a safe area, and then make sure that the room is clean and devoid of any files that could be problematic. And then, just kind of walk the surveyor through what's going to happen over the next period of time. And obviously, the surveyor is going to tell us, what they're going to be doing, but we should tell them, how we're reacting to their presence there. Survey protocol will actually go into all of those things, point out, provide a list of all the documents, the manuals, the minutes, the various checklists that are going to be made available, the operating certificate, government's information, medical staff bylaws, all of those things, make sure that that's available, made available to the surveyor as quickly as possible. Then point out that the next step is going to be, an entrance conference for the surveyor. A walkthrough, and then just various things that will happen during, the 1, 2, or 3 days that the surveyors are going to be on hand. The whole goal of the survey protocol is to reduce the anxiety of the people that are involved in the process, particularly that receptionist. We want to make an incredible, not just a good, we want to make an incredible first impression to show how well organized we are. We want that receptionist to be overly worried or stressed about the process, and of course all the other people that are involved, the administrator, the nurse manager, the medical director, and the staff. Our goal here in this company and in Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, as well as in this podcast, is always be prepared. We want to make sure that we're always prepared for a survey to show up. So Sue, let's act out greeting a surveyor. What do you think? Okay. So, good morning. I'm John Galey, and I'm here to perform an unannounced deemed status surveyor here. Here's my card.
Good morning, Mr. Galey. It's so nice to meet you. Here's our sign-in log, if you don't mind filling it out. Can I take a picture of your credentials?
Sure. Here you go.
Thanks. Let me just take a copy and send off a few messages here. Okay, I have notified the administrator, who is on the way. He should be here in about 15 minutes. The nurse manager is currently finishing up in the morning huddle with her staff and will be here in about 5 minutes. The medical director is not on site, but he will try to stop by this afternoon. Now let me take you to the conference room where we'll set you up for the day.
Thanks. Wow, you really are very well organized.
Well, we pride ourselves on always being prepared here. Okay, here you go. This can be your room for the next few days. Our nurse manager will be here in a few minutes. She will have a copy of today's schedule and a list of all our employees and credentialed providers. Our business office manager is getting together the policy manual and the various binders and will bring them in shortly. You can do your entrance conference at that time if it works for you.
It certainly does. Thanks so much.
Yep. And I will get you a menu for lunch and make sure you have plenty of coffee and water.
Wow. You guys really are prepared. So perhaps, Sue, that might have been a little over the top, but trust me, if I were a surveyor and I saw all of that happen in the first 15 minutes on site, I would be quite impressed. So here's the takeaways from this. We talked about the various things you need to have included in your protocol. and making sure that we reduce the anxiety of all those people that are involved in the process, so that they understand, you know, what how they react when somebody comes on board. Also, note making sure that we immediately start pulling all those documents. The surveyor gets really impressed when they don't have to keep asking or begging for documents like copy of the schedule or the minutes to meetings or a list of all the, you know, we really want to get into some of the documentation pretty quickly. So we're going to want to start pulling charts. We're going to want to look at credential files. We're going to look at employee files. And the faster we can get that to you, the faster that they can get moving on that. And I think another thing that I threw in there is how the, you noted how you mentioned that the nurse manager was doing the morning huddle. So just, you know, throwing in little things like that to demonstrate how well organized, not only the process of
welcoming
them, but what's going on in the organization. A morning huddle, by the way, those of you who are not aware of what a huddle is, it's where the, you know, the management basically gets together with the staff in the hallway, literally huddling in the hallway to talk about a few things. It's a 4, 5, 6 minute huddle. There's no documentation other than the notes that the nurses, you know, the nurse manager perhaps is taking with them. She might write them up, but it's an opportunity for everybody to kind of just kind of get all of their act together right away at the very beginning there and mention any issues that there might be and just make sure that they're well organized for the day. So that's kind of a good thing to throw in, you know, if that's indeed what is holding the nurse manager up, you know, saying that they're in the morning huddle rather than that they're in the back office, you know, scrambling to get all the documentation, which might be what is actually happening. But mentioning that they're, you know, kind of engaged in things that are directly related to patient care. I, as a surveyor, when I come in, I want to make sure that I'm not interfering with anything that's going on, you know, health-wise, because I'm with the patients. And it's very important that that if there is anything that is happening that's holding your staff up that is related to patient care, say it. By the way, you know, I don't know if I've mentioned this in the podcast. I've been on surveys when a patient has been transferred to the hospital. And everybody gets worried about that because, you know, they're totally out there. The surveyor gets to see exactly what's going on. And I'll tell you, I don't think there's been a case where I have seen a bad process. If anything, I've been much more impressed because I got to witness firsthand how they really do during that type of an event. So, you know, don't be afraid of that. And certainly don't stop the process. Surveyors are totally going to understand if, you know, everything has to be kind of put on hold while they deal with the real life, you know, care of the patients here. And if you do ever run into a surveyor who doesn't understand that, or maybe doesn't understand that something is going on, I mean, I think I've been in that circumstance a couple times where, you know, I haven't understood that there actually was a complication because they were handling it so calmly that I didn't know that a complication was occurring. You know, it's important that you just say to the surveyor, hey, listen, you know, I'm sorry we have a situation here. This is what's happening. We're handling it. But, you know, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to have to deal with this. And then I'll give you all my attention once once I've dealt with that. So train your front office staff to be prepared for it. Figure out what you're going to do. Have a contingency plan because, you know, Murphy's Law pretty much says that the day that your nurse manager and your administrator are on vacation is the day that those surveyors are going to show up. We had a situation, I think we mentioned it, where one of our, all of us in the company were at the ASCA conference. And one of our facilities, the, you know, the Joint Commission showed up for a survey. And they actually didn't have any cases that day. So, you know, they had no backup with us, though they could have handled it themselves very easily. But fortunately, because they had no cases scheduled, the Joint Commission decided to terminate that survey and would come back later.
I always have a backup plan. I feel like that's something that you always really reiterate. Have a backup plan, have plan one, two, and, you know, just to make sure you've always got a way to deal with anything.
Right, exactly. Remain friendly at all times and remain upbeat. Probably one of the most difficult surveys I have. I know I've told you this story before, Sue, but I had a team of three people. I was the team leader in the survey, and we were really treated so rudely by the staff. They literally put us into a room, they closed the door, and I won't say that they locked the door, but they might as well have because we couldn't find them. They were behind locked doors in other parts of the facility. They didn't offer us lunch, which, okay, I mean, not a big deal, but, you know, don't make me cranky. I mean, if, you know, I'm a big guy here, you know, I need my food.
Well, yeah, or if you're thirsty or, you know, just
That's
to know the basics, where is the restroom?
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to be sitting there uncomfortable trying to go through charts and, or, you know, things and not,
that's right.
You gotta be, finding what you need to find.
Yeah, you got to be civil to them and work with them. And but, you know, definitely remained at all times, you know, friendly and upbeat. And I think that'll rub off on the survey. Mm-hmm. So let's take a short commercial break, and then we'll come back and discuss how to talk to surveyors. And then we'll finish by discussing current events, our upcoming events.
One of the sponsors of the ASC podcast with John Gailey is Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. John, can you tell us about some of the services that AHS offers?
Sure. So we are a regulatory oversight organization. We basically are involved in the business of helping organizations to always be prepared for surveys and to respond to surveys and just to become your outsourced regulatory compliance organization. We also do financial oversight too, but the stuff that's probably most pertinent to most of our listeners relates to regulatory compliance and accreditation compliance. So our goal is always to have our organizations remain prepared for surveys. And so we'll, to that end, we maintain the policy manuals. We develop educational programs. We can even do the educational programs for the organization. We oversee the quality improvement program. We write the minutes for the quality improvement program, if that's what the organization wishes. And we help run the governing body meetings, again, if that's what the organization wants, and we'll write the governing body minutes for that. We also do periodic mock surveys. We help the organization through a survey, and we'll help them respond to the plan of correction necessary after a deemed status survey. And most importantly, this is all at a fixed price that might surprise most of our listeners.
Hey, so how do our listeners learn more?
So for a free, no-obligation consultation, give me a call at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ah-strategies.com and fill out the contact us form.
Okay, thanks, John.
So recently, I was asked to speak to several different groups about how to talk to surveyors, and it has been noted that many staff members really didn't know how to talk to a surveyor or how to answer their questions appropriately. So Sue, since you are the only one here today, let me pick on you. Surveyors are taught to ask open-ended questions, i.e. questions that pretty much push an employee into doing most of the talking. Mm-hmm. So for example, hi Ms. Cronkite, I understand that you are the quality improvement coordinator for the center, is that correct?
Yes, it is. I oversee the program with the help of the medical director.
Great. Now, can you give me an overview of the quality improvement program?
Sure. Well, we have a quality improvement committee that meets every quarter to discuss the results of the past 3 months, and we review all of the incidents, performance improvement projects, chart reviews, pharmacy issues, infections, etc.
So that's not a bad answer, and it's certainly accurate. But let's suggest another possible approach. So one of the things that I always recommend to our clients is pulling out a sheet of paper, blank sheet of paper, and writing in the center of it a circle that just says QAPI. And what I like to do is to demonstrate basically to the surveyor how all of these various things that we talk about in infection control kind of come together. And I swear, someday I'm going to go to a center. Probably one of these listeners here is going to hear me talking about this, and they're going to sit down and show me this, and I'll know that everything came around full circle. But what I like to do here is then just fill in that circle. So in that center will be QAPI, and then I'll take a line and have a circle with incidents, and another line and another circle with grievances, and another line and another circle with transfers. And all around this circle will be all of those things that feed into the quality improvement program. For example, satisfaction results, peer review, chart reviews, pharmacy reports, infection control, including the review of all the infections, the surveillance and training, the QI or performance improvement projects, sterile processing incidents and issues, equipment discussions and issues, environment of care and issues, education and benchmarking. So all of those things are items that are in this circle that surrounds this is tough for the audience because I'm drawing pictures in my hands, but surround that circle that's in there. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea behind this is to try to demonstrate to a surveyor that you really do understand how everything that you're doing in this organization feeds in mm-hmm. to the process. And after you've drawn that picture, you can kind of go at different items and say, you know, these are the types of things we talk about in the meeting. And I'll tell you, by the time you're done, you're going to have a great picture and a super impressed surveyor. More importantly, you have demonstrated on paper your organization's total grasp of the whole CWAPI process. And hopefully your actions and your minutes will match up with the picture that you've drawn there. That's the other important thing, is obviously make sure that what you're uh-huh. demonstrating there is accurate. But that type of demonstration on paper helps the surveyor to see the breadth of that organization. I've walked into, so that is a common question that I ask of, you know, organizations that I survey, and I'm always very interested in the answer. Sometimes all they talk about are the QI studies, and that makes me quite concerned that they perhaps don't understand that whole process, that to them QI is defined as that those QI studies. It's happened quite a number of times and makes me very concerned about their overall grasp of the quality improvement process. So lastly, let's just finish up by talking a few more things about talking to surveyors. First of all, it's never a good idea to argue with them during a survey unless they are clearly incorrect, which, of course, if it's me, that will not happen. or if they're not listening to your reasoning, even then, I wouldn't belabor it. Many times, items that are discussed during the survey, we've talked about this a lot, don't actually show up in the survey results after they have to pass all the review processes out there. Surveyors are human, and they, you know, sometimes we go into things and we look at something that we are pretty comfortable saying is not right. But when we go back and actually tie it to a regulation or tie it to an accreditation standard, it just doesn't pass muster. And therefore, we have to remove that from the citations. Mm-hmm. Accreditation surveyors are going to have a much more educational and consultative approach to the survey. And take advantage of that and show a willingness to listen to their ideas, even if you don't think that they are practical. I think some of the more frustrating surveys I have is when the organization is so confident in what they do, they don't want to admit to anything being potentially wrong. And any organization is going to have an opportunity for improving. I mean, I've been doing this for 30 years. I go out on a survey and I learn something every single time I'm on that survey myself. You know, things that these organizations are doing that are different from our, you know, from organizations that I've worked with.
And I would think that whether it's regarding this or anything, if you have somebody that's not willing to open their mind and learn something, that's scarier than what you might be seeing, because you think, okay, they really aren't even willing to learn or to listen. They're so busy defending, you know, what they think they're doing. So
that's right. And I think real confidence in your program demonstrates that you're willing to look at other ideas, even if, you know, sometimes these surveyors will come up with ideas that I even think are kind of strange. But you know, after I think about them a little bit, maybe they are a great idea. So, you know, digest it, but just never, you know, never leave the impression that you're not willing to listen to those ideas that they bring up. State surveyors, unfortunately, are less likely to be consultative, and depending on, of course, on the state. Treat them with respect, though, and listen to their ideas, but never get into a fight with the surveyors. You will have, you're going to have your chance to make your case if and when the item that you're discussing ends up being cited. And lastly, encourage your staff not to guess at answers. If they don't know, admit it or explain where they need to go to get the answer. Mm-hmm. I'll understand certainly if, you know, if I walk up to an employee and I ask them a question and it turns out that employee doesn't actually deal in that area, or I walked up to an employee that's not actually a nurse and I was asking a nursing question. I've also run into circumstances where people are literally brand new. You know, they're just coming on board and they're in the orientation phase and I'm asking questions that they just really haven't been covered and frankly are not so important that they have to be covered before they're even allowed on the floor.
Yeah, and you want to know that if it happened in practice that they would go get the nurse manager or they would find somebody that knew something. They wouldn't just sort of wing it if they don't know what they should be doing as they care for the patients.
Right. That's an excellent point, is that even that question, the way they're going to go about getting the answer is going to be far more important to me than the fact that they don't understand it. So be very careful. The other problem that I find sometimes is employees might embellish things or go on, you know, well past what they need to talk about. Answer the question, but don't answer more than you have to. First of all, you don't want to waste the surveyor's time on that. If the surveyor leaves that question totally open, like if they're asking about a quality improvement program, for goodness sake, go on and on about it, because that's something that's extremely important. But if they're asking something that you're not totally aware of, do not embellish it beyond what those areas that you're most comfortable talking about. So let's talk, Sue, about some upcoming events in the ASC industry.
Okay.
So every week we will inform you of upcoming events. If you would like your event to be included in the podcast, please send the event information to info@ascpodcast.com.
Note that we also have a calendar of events on our website at www.ascpodcast.com. It is still under construction. Information is being added regularly now.
The New York State Association of ASCs has its spring conference coming up at the Desmond in Albany, May 17th and 18th. And Sue, you and I are going there.
Yes, we are.
And I believe we are going to actually be doing some live podcasts. Well, not live, but we'll do some recordings from there, just like we did with ASCA.
Yep. New Jersey Association of ASCs. The 8th Annual Ambulatory Surgery Conference is June 12th and 13th at the Wilshire Grand Hotel.
Becker's 16th Annual Future of Spine and the Spine Orthopedic and Pain Management Driven ASC Conference is June 14th through the 16th, 2018, at the Swiss Hotel in Chicago, Illinois.
Registration for the online CAPE exam that will be administered during the month of October at various testing centers throughout the United States is August 1st through 31st, 2018. To register, go to www.aboutcape.org. That's www.aboutcape.org.
The California Ambulatory Surgery Association has the CASA Annual Conference, September 5th through the 7th, 2018, in Huntington Beach.
Ohio State Association meeting will be September 18th through the 20th at the Hilton Polaris in Columbus, Ohio.
The 5th Annual New York Metro ASC Symposium is November 2nd, 2018, at one of my favorite hotels, the Marriott Marquis in the heart of Times Square.
CASA Infection Prevention Seminar, November 7th and 8th, 2018, at Casa Mesa.
Registration for the online CAS exam that will be administered during the month of August at various testing centers throughout the United States is May 1st through the 31st. That's coming up very soon. To register, go to www.aboutcasc.org. That's www.aboutcasc.org. Another testing period is in October 2018, and registration for that exam will be August 1st through the 31st.
Remember, if you would like your event listed on our website and discussed on air, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com.
Well, that's it for this week's podcast, and please spread the word about our podcast with your friends and colleagues, and do us the honor of hitting that subscribe button. Until next week, we'll see you then.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all the rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute, legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development, all rights reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsors, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading regulatory compliance and financial oversight firms. For free consultation, contact John Gailey today at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. Our other sponsor today is Eden Group Development, which publishes ASC Regulatory Compliance Series, the ASC industry's leading books, including The Survey Guide for ASCs, a guide to the CMS conditions for coverage, and interpretive guidelines for ambulatory surgery centers, and Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, a guide for ambulatory surgery center owners and governing body members. These must-have books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or directly from the publisher at reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. If you are interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.